with me is Cool Tony D out of Moreton, Arkansas. Tony, how are you doing?
I'm good, my man. I'm doing great. I'm a little sweaty, but I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually sitting here at Odd Muse today, so you may hear bits of music pieces in the background as I sip on their All Things Constant, the Galaxy version.
Lovely. Lovely. Mm-hmm. Now, Odd Muse, one of my favorite places. They're in the DF dub, so I'm kind of jealous right now, Jerry.
Yeah, I mean, and some good beer, too, so I'll have to send you a can or two.
So, for episode 175, it's an interesting fun fact about Cool Tony D.
Mm.
Are you ready for this, Jerry? Are you ready for this?
Give it.
I think on Highway 175 in Dallas,
mm-hmm.
which goes really from like, I guess kind of like from downtown area all the way through to like East Texas. It's a long ass road. I've never really been past. I don't think I've ever been to Sealville, dude. I've never been past. Gosh, what is like Ball Springs, Hutchins area on 175, really?
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, dude. I've never been to... if I have, it was... Dude, I have tons of... I know tons of people from Siegelville, Crandall, Kaufman. I mean, you go all the way down to Maybank. I have never been past the 2075 area, 175 area, dude,
in Dallas. You just don't have any people down that area.
I got friends, but it seemed like all those friends trickled up to the Dallas area later in life, and that's when I became friends with them. Gotcha. So there was never any need for me to go south of that part of 175. So
I hear that.
That's my interesting tidbit in the life of Cool Tony D. And I'm from Mesquite. I'm right there, Jerry. Man, I don't even mess around in Ball Springs, so I'm definitely ain't going down 175. So that is my 175 reference.
Cool. Well, you should take a trip when you come by, just to for S&G. You know what I'm saying?
Just to see, man.
Right.
To see.
Well, if you're coming to Dallas just to see, this show is going to drop on the weekend of the 31st, actually, of July. So the National IPA Day is coming up on the 3rd of August. And I know that Community is going to have a special event on the 3rd, and Tufts Brewing is going to have an event on the 5th. Also, Intrinsic Smokehouse and Brewery, which we've had an opportunity to interview their head brewer, Travis, here on the podcast, they're going to be celebrating 8 years on the 5th of August. And there'll also be a slushy fest at 903 Brewers in Sherman. So a lot of different things going on there. I will be at Barrel and Flow Festival this year. I'm aiming to go without anyone getting me sick. I'm aiming to go to Barrel and Flow Festival on August 11th through 13th. So if you're going to be there, definitely let me know. And there's a few more things that will be at ntxbeer.net/event calendar.
I love it. Now, did you say Intrinsic's on their 8th anniversary?
Eighth anniversary, my friend.
Wow.
8th anniversary.
That's wild, man.
Typically, their anniversaries are held in the wintertime, right? But there's something about the winter that just, it always kind of messes with, like, all the things going on. This is totally an unofficial thought around why they moved it, because typically they hold it around, like, repeal day, which is usually December sometime. But I'm glad they moved it here in August.
Yeah, I love Intrinsic's outdoor area. And maybe that's why the weather's a little bit better. It's not really cold. I don't know. Who knows? But yeah, that's pretty cool. Happy for them.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I'll be there. And I know that one of our listeners here on the podcast, That Kid Mar on Instagram, will be mixing vinyl there at the event on the 5th. So definitely check out That Kid Mar. I think he begins his set at 5 o'clock.
Beautiful. I love it. Beautiful. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
What you been drinking?
Oh, man. Oh, Jerry, it's been really good, man. So I got to give a shout out and a big thanks to you and my buddy Carlos at Dragon Masters 214. Last time I was in town, y'all really hooked a brother up with some beer. So I greatly, greatly appreciate it. So I'm stocked, man. My refrigerator is full.
Yeah, full of
all the good stuff.
But we know how you don't drink that beer right away. So that beer is going to... If you're stocked, that means you won't be needing any beer in your refrigerator until at least December time.
it's gonna be a minute. Like I think I'm trying to like hold off. I know NFL training camp just started, so this is like the only time of year I watch the NFL Network. I'm just like just happy and happy. So I've been cracking them open, and now this week in Arkansas it's been really hot. So two beers. I actually wrote one down on our show notes. One is the Ragnarok from False Idol.
Yes, it's good.
The New England style IPA. D freaking licious, man.
D freaking delicious.
Gosh, it's too good. It's really that good. I'm not just over exaggerating. Literally, it's to me, it's one of my favorite New England. Whenever I think of New England style IPA, that's what I think of. That's a fantastic brew. And another one that I just discovered recently is from Piney River Brewing Company out of, is it Buckrest, Missouri? I gotta get that location right, but it's definitely in Missouri. It's called Missouri Mule IPA. It's a really good IPA I picked up at a liquor store in Little Rock last weekend, and I'm really enjoying it, man. It's a really good beer. What's the ABV on this? It's like a 7. Yeah, 7 ABV. I like it. To me, it has like a little minty note to it. But okay. I've been digging them, man. I bought a 6-pack of them. I'm about to crack one open right now, dude. I've really been enjoying these. So shout out to Piney River Brewing out there in Missouri.
A minty note, you say, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit of a minty. I know it's definitely a pine taste to it. But I taste a little minty note at the very, very end. So shout out to them. Really good brew.
I like something with a little piney note. I usually, especially when some IPAs can get piney or danky or that type of thing. I like that in an IPA, actually.
Yeah, man. It's really, really good, man. What about you, brother? What you been sipping on?
So this last week was actually an anniversary for Locust Cider. And I stopped by their Fort Worth location and picked up a cider that they just gotten in. There's a smoked chili stone fruit cider. So imagine the smell of apples, but the taste of like apples and peaches with peppers.
Ooh, okay.
It was really good. You need to be careful with it. I wasn't as careful as I needed to be. That was like 15.4%. But it's really good. They're smoked chili stone fruit cider from Locust Cider. So that's going to get my brew of the week. I'd love to, you know, have some cider in when we can get it, and especially unique stuff. So a plus on that.
Wow, it's a big cider. You said 15%?
Mm-hmm.
I bet that's a good, gosh, that'd be kind of.
Night.
That sounds like a good, like, yeah. Like, that's my sipping. Man, I'm about to go take this hot shower and go to sleep. Yeah, night, that's night. What I'm talking about, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, so, again, I am at Odd Muse Brewing doing this recording. So you're going to hear a few voices in the background and hear some music, some different things like that. We'll try our best to take the music out since we're not paying for that music. But, you know, we'll see what's going on. Speaking of music, what have you been listening to?
Man, it's been an interesting week.
Besides the new local natives.
Besides local natives. Dude, I went back to like 2017, and I was always a fan of this group, but I really enjoyed the Everything Now album from 2017 from Arcade Fire, dude. From start to finish, that's just a solid album. It's not one of my favorites. It's not in the phone. Surprisingly, it's not in the phone, but. If from start to finish, it's just a really good album. I love the way it flows. I love the little interlude tracks it has that kind of goes into the next track. It's a solid album, and I think I just wanted something. I don't know if I wanted something. I wanted something comfortable to listen to that I haven't heard in a very long time.
Sure.
And I just happened to stumble across it. One that I didn't have to skip around. Right. Like, hey, I like Everything Now. Solid album. So let me start it from track one. Let it play out. And that's exactly what I did. So I got to give it to Arcade Fire, Everything Now. 2017, man. Pre-pandemic. So,
yeah,
good stuff right there.
Well, I mean, it's nice to always enjoy those pre-pandemic things, but I'm glad it's also nice to enjoy an album from start to finish, you know, those special moments, man, where it's a non-stop, non-pause, like the whole album play, and it might play again. I love that.
Absolutely. What about you, man?
So I was listening to two records, Black Milk out of Detroit, his new album, Everybody Good, ? And I really enjoy his music. It's a hip hop alternative. It's got some really good tracks on there, some guest artists, including Fonte and, oh my goodness, I'm forgetting his name. That's upsetting. Wow.
Fonte, okay. From Little Brother Fontaine?
Yeah, Little Brother Fontaine. He's guesting on the album, and there's a couple of other artists that are on the album. It's really good. I mean, I enjoy Black Milk. I really enjoyed his 2019 Dive record. It just was a standout for me during that year. And Everybody Good is also very good. And a lot of people who are not familiar with Black Milk and his other moniker, which I'm also forgetting his other moniker name. Good grief. I'm not looking at all my notes, so I'm having to flip off the dome. And this All Things Constant Galaxy Virgins is doing its work. So
it's not a bad thing.
I would definitely recommend to listen to Black Milk, Everybody Good. I would also recommend The Paradox. The Paradox is a record with Jean Fidari and Jeff Mills. Jeff Mills is like a techno legend. He was with the group Underground Resistance. And the album is live at Montreal Jazz Festival. So imagine this jazz performance, which has electronic music, and it kind of gives you this danceable jazz, if you will. That's the simplest way I can put it, but it goes a lot further than that. It's a lot richer than that. Live at Montreal Jazz Festival by The Paradox is definitely a record for me to listen.
I love it. You said, so Jeff Mills is part of that, or?
Well, Jeff Mills is a part of the group, The Paradox, and Jeff Mills is a techno legend. He was with the group, Underground Resistance, and other things like that. So I figured that you would know, especially if you've been digging deeper into house, into techno, and Detroit, especially, that you would know who he was.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Jeff Mills. Interesting little tidbit. Oh, I love modern blues and beats where I can say stuff like this. Mm-hmm. On one of my favorite Def Punk tracks, Teachers, where they name literally the lyrics of the whole song, or their DJ and house music idols. Jeff Mills' name is in the middle of this track. He's one of the names they say Jeff Mills is in the house, so it's pretty sweet. They just, Jeff Mills is in the house. It's pretty sweet. So yeah, I know who Jeff Mills is.
absolutely. Well, if you don't have that record, I highly recommend it, and I'll make sure to put it on the show notes. We all know the show notes are at ntxbeer.net.
Lovely. I'm really digging this Piney River right here, dude. This is a good IPA. I have a good and cold too. Thanks to you, man, for stocking up my fridge, you and Carlos, man. Cheers to y'all.
Hey, man. Well, happy to do it. Like I said, we know you will be sipping on that at least until November.
So. No joke, man.
You've got a special anniversary this week in terms of our show theme. And I'd love to let you get into it a little bit more, what's going on with this trap music thing.
Trap music. I love it, man. Yeah. We're literally, the day of recording, we're still at the very end of July, but August is right around the corner. August, one of my favorite time of year, because football season is upon us, and I can smell that fresh cut grass. And my allergies are under control this year, so I'm really good. I'm really pumped up right now.
That's fantastic, because I know when your allergies, when you first got there, allergies were kind of going all over the place, but that means you've gotten acclimated to the area. That's good.
I got an acclimated to the area, and... I started taking medicine 3 months ago.
Medicine helps too. Drugs help too.
Yes. Absolutely, man. To make sure I was ready for this. So
say hey to drugs. Yes.
I'm fine. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So August 19th, to be exact, will be the 20th year anniversary of one of my favorite artists, one of my favorite hip hop artists. one of his albums from 20 years ago came out August 19th, and that's T.I., and the album is Trap Music. I really want to highlight this album today, and I guess I wanted to, not only just because it's the 20-year anniversary, I want to talk about the importance of this album for T.I., and I'm going to do a little different today, but we'll get into it after the song. Jerry, this was a monster album that's so important for T.I. T.I.P. is what they call him, but we'll call him T.I. today. Trap Music came out in 2003 with monster songs, but a lot of people out there don't realize this is actually T.I.'s second album. His first album back in 2001 was called I'm Serious, came out in October 2001. And Jerry, that debut album of T.I. is one of my all-time favorite hip-hop albums. On that album alone, you have a young Neptunes and a young Pharrell on that album. Jazzy Faye was really getting his footing down at that time as well. Dude, that is a really, really good album. Some of the track listings on that 2001 album, I'm Serious, Dope Boys, Choose You with Jazzy Faye. Dude, classic tracks. But it was really about trap music, man, honestly. This second album that came out in 2003, I think it was more of a slingshot to T.I. in the music industry. This was the beginning of the T.I. South trap music, that which he really put a stamp on the trap music sound, or at least the name at that time, because obviously there was music coming out of Atlanta for decades, you know, for years before that with Outkast, Goody Mob, the whole Dungeon family.
Sure.
T.I. put a spin on it, though.
Huh.
One, his lyrics, he had a very southern, not necessarily a southern twang, but there was just the way that he said his words, man, made him stand out a little bit different. And he really was talking more about the dope game in a lot of his tracks, especially on that I'm Serious album. T.I. only talked about drugs and women. Yeah, that's really it. And I loved it all. The way he says his words, the way he literally everything was just laid out perfectly. I don't need you to preach the world to me. Just give me 2-3 things and really hone in on what your craft is, and I'm going to love it. And that's exactly what he did on I'm Serious and for trap music. But I want to talk about this album in particular. This was a 16-track album, Jerry. And normally I don't do albums like this, but I want to kind of do this in blocks. So I want to divide that 16 into 3 different blocks. So it'd be like 5, 5, and 6.
Now, wait a minute. Now, is these 16 full tracks, or are we talking about 16? We're talking about like 10 tracks and 6 skits.
No skits here. I thought about you on that one, man. Now, there are some skittish conversations at the end of some tracks, but no individual tracks dedicated to the skit. So,
all right.
I definitely thought about you, my man. So for this first block, I want to talk about the first 5 songs here. Now, I'm going to kind of bunch this up a little bit, but I'll go through. Track 1 was Trap Music, obviously named after the album. Good song, about 4-minute song. Wasn't bad at all. It was a good intro track. And back then, the early 2000s, a lot of hip-hop artists, whenever you have a new album, you want your first track to kind of draw the line in the sand. Like, this is what it is. This is how it's going to be. And dude, T.I. did his thing for a reintroduction of T.I. because he was already introduced to music heads like me a couple of years prior to this. So in 2003, T.I. was introduced really to the mainstream audience, to mainstream media, hip hop, music people, period. Thanks to Bone Crusher and the song Never Scared. That song, I tell you, Jerry, was all over 106 and Park for weeks. Dude, back when 106 and Park had their little music videos for top 10 music videos, this song was just lived there for months, dude. So T.I. had a verse on Never Scared that really like launched him into stardom. And when he dropped Trap Music, people were like, okay, is this gonna, let's see how he holds up. And Jerry, he does a fantastic job. As I stated, track one was called Trap Music. Track two, I Can't Quit. Decent track, Jerry. Sometimes now T.I. can get a little bit preachy in his songs, but I don't really want to say it's, back then I want to say he was really just talking from a certain mindset that he was in. So it was really not a bad song. Three, Be Easy. One of my favorite tracks, Jerry. I've heard this song chopped and screwed many times as well, which really brings out a whole nother side of the song, man, as far as the mood, the lyrics in the song here. And track four, No More Talk, wasn't one of my favorite tracks, but interesting track. Track five, Doing My Job, the producer on this one was Kanye West. Doing My Job, and you can tell it was a Kanye West song due to the, so when Kanye came out with Through the Wire, Kanye turned up the pitch volume. So Kanye was really good at turning up the pitch volumes on his sample tracks. And this song here, Doing My Job, was a Kanye West production. And again, that pitch volume on that sample was turned up. I've always loved this song. It wasn't a single off the album, but it was a really good song produced by an early Kanye West who was starting to make a name for himself back at, during this time. So I thought that was a little interesting tidbit. Nowadays, if Kanye produces a song for you, it's going to be a single. Back then it wasn't. So I thought that was really, really cool. Out of those first five, honestly, I thought that was the main one that stood out to me. Kanye West, there's no single on these first five tracks here that was on commercial radio at the time. But again, you had Kanye produce a whole track on here, and it was just another song, Jerry. So that's pretty cool, just from where he is now to where he was back then. This next block, let's see, we're going to do 6, 7, 8, 9, and let's do 10. So we'll do the next five tracks here. Number six, Let's Get Away, featuring the great Jazzy Faye. So back then, if Jazzy Faye did any type of production, if he produced your song, it's getting played. Jazzy Faye put so many artists on. He introduced Ciara. I mean, Jazzy Faye was on T.I.'s album here. He was also on a T.I. track on I'm Serious. Jazzy Faye is a hip-hop legend from Memphis, and I love him so much because he really tapped into that Memphis sound. Also, a little interesting thing with Jazzy Faye, all his tracks stood out. He did some albums with Tila, it's another Memphis rapper. Fantastic, man. You get a little organ sound. It's something about Jazzy Faye in a church organ, dude. You'll hear little snippets of it in some of his productions. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful stuff. It was a really good marriage with him and T.I. I loved every song that they did, including Let's Get Away, which is a song about women, obviously. Let's Get Away, Let's Get a Room on the Other Side of Town. Those are his, I'm telling you, T.I., when he's talking about women, fantastic, fantastic.
So, real quick on the Jazzy Faye tip. So, are you saying that when Jazzy Faye was bringing sort of that Memphis sound, are you saying that when he did 1-2-Step, that was Memphis sound?
No, that was more of an ATL sound. So, Jazzy was really good. Later on, he adapted more of that ATL presence, especially with Ciara. But early on, really, even just a couple years, like this is in 03. Dude, well, there's no telling when the song was actually made. Could have been made a year before that. He still had a Memphis little twang in his production quality, just from what I've noticed. And that's literally, I have a pretty decent sample size of Jazzy Faye, the stuff he did with Suave House and things like that back in the day. So, no, at that point later, he did adapt more of that ATL sound that we knew of, especially with 1-2-Step with Ciara. Yes, Let's Get Away. Yeah, that's a really, really popular T.I. song. That was one of the singles. I think there was four singles from this album. Now, Jerry, the next track, track seven, is a monster, a freaking monster. I hope this song isn't forgotten about by hip hop heads. I hope this song has a place in everyone's heart. This song is in my phone. This song will forever be on my phone. I heard this song more back in 2003, 2004, probably more times Chopped and Screwed on mixtapes from DJ Bull, OG Ron C, Michael Watts. There's no telling. I can go on and on and on all day with that, but I love 24s, Jerry. One of my all-time, I would have to say one of my all-time T.I. tracks. What it is about this song, there's a couple of things. The beat, the music, and the Houston rapper B. King really taps into this now. You'll hear like the jaw sound, doom, 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 doom. It's like an incoming bass, an incoming beast is coming. This song has that presence about it. When the beat comes on, you know it's coming, it's incoming. I'm about to just take it. And here it is, 24, beautiful song. Another thing I love about it is the lyrics. I love the chorus, simple, money, hoes, cars and clothes. That's how all my niggas know. Blow and dro, 20 foes, that's how all my niggas roll. Beautiful, keep it simple, T.I. I love it. And T.I. was really good at keeping it simple. But this is what I really love about this song. That very first verse, Jerry, if you listen to Martin Bruising Beats, people know I'm a huge lover of a strong second verse. First verse, cool, I love the song. Give me a strong second verse, I may love you forever. This song here has a beautiful first verse. He punches you right in the mouth coming out, man. He's in the drop top Chevy with the roof wide open, Jerry. His partner's looking at him to see if his eyes open. Cause I've been drinking and I've been smoking. I'm flying down 285, but I'm focused. Jerry, when you hear this song, Screwed and Chopped, it's a beautiful thing, Jerry. It doesn't get any better than that. I guarantee you. It is a beautiful, beautiful Chopped and Screwed song. Beautiful, beautiful Chopped and Screwed song. So, and that's number seven. Interesting, also another interesting fact here. His number sevens on his previous album was I'm Serious with Beanie Man featuring Neptunes. I thought T.I. was onto something here about his number seven tracks. Kind of like how Cash Money always has a single at track number four. I thought T.I. was going to do something with track sevens going forward. Those are little nerdy things that I notice when it comes to music. That was track seven. Track eight, the way it starts. David Banner. Jerry, if you don't know that tag for that producer, one, he says his name in it, but you know you're about to get something beautiful. Huh. David Banner was a huge hip hop producer, and yeah, his albums weren't bad either. And this is Rubber Band Man. I am a huge fan of Rubber Band Man.
Wow.
By T.I.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting. Those are three singles back to back to back, right there in the middle of this album here. Interesting tidbit about 24, let me just go back real fast. That single dropped in April of 03. This album actually came out in August. So this song was played everywhere at the time. And I think after the album came out, Be Easy and Rubber Band and Let's Get Away was later on, but 24 was everywhere. Great track, Rubber Band Man, solid song. Number eight, Look What I Got. This is one of my least favorite tracks on this album. You go from these three mega hits to this, it's okay. You can take a breather sometimes. Sometimes you gotta do that in the game. I gotta get up and use the restroom. And this was one of those songs. It's not one of my favorite songs, but it wasn't too bad, but it's just not one of my favorite. And same with the next one, I Still Love You at number 10. I wanted to close off that one because those three mega hits at 6, 7, and 8, dude, like, those are EPs now, man. Like, if T.I. just would have released those three songs now, like, that could have been your EP right there. You don't even need the rest of these tracks.
I mean, with today's music, he just needs to re-release them sped up, of course.
Exactly, yeah, for sure. And so I thought that was pretty interesting. I want to finish this last section off with 11 through 16. Number 11, let me tell you something. Jerry, the producer on this, again, was Kanye West. Kanye produced two tracks on T.I.'s album. People don't even talk about it. I didn't even know that they did stuff together. T.I. has two tracks with Kanye West on this album that no one even talks about. And they're actually decent songs, but it was just a different time period. And Kanye West was just a up-and-coming producer who just happened to be a decent rapper at the time. So yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting for number 11. Let me tell you something. Number 12, T.I. versus T.I.P. Later on, T.I. will have a whole album called T.I. versus T.I.P. This song isn't bad, but I think he was the producer on this one. He actually produced this one himself. So maybe this one just kind of stuck to him a little bit closer than the other ones, which is why he had a whole album dedicated toward it a few years later.
Did he produce
But I want to get to number 13.
Did he produce that later album? Did he produce that himself?
He didn't produce the whole album, no. Okay. No, he didn't. No, okay. He had other producers on that one, but he did produce this individual track, yes. Number 13. I want to get to number 13. So number 13, Bezel. A lot of T.I. stuff that I could tell, an artist may not be all into a song, mm-hmm. especially back then. And I'm really good with T.I. because I've been listening to him for a very long time.
Yeah.
Is he crunk about it? Is he happy to be on the song? Is he not happy to be on the song? It's all about his presence when he first steps in. With Bezel, he was jumping off before the song barely even got off, dude. Why? Because 8-Ball and MJG and Bun B are also on this song. Why wasn't this song a single? I'm still scratching my head because this is one of the best songs on the album. You have 8-Ball, MJG, mm-hmm. and Bun B. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. This is hip-hop royalty right here with T.I. T.I. has a small verse at the beginning. He just does the chorus the rest of the time. That's all. Number 14, King of the South. Number 15 was Be Better Than Me, which again was a preachy song, and same with 16, Long Live the Game. But let me highlight number 14 real quick, King of the South. I named this episode King of the South, or we can name it Trap Music, but I like to think of T.I. as a pioneer of the South. I never want to give him that King of the South title. He was very, very good, though. But there's a song called Grand Royal on mm-hmm. the I'm Serious album. And I tend to call that song more King of the South, just because I heard it more. And he references King of the South a lot more in that track. So if you ever get a chance, go back and listen to I'm Serious, especially that Grand Royal song. Fantastic track that I love from T.I. But again, 13 with Bezel, man. I don't understand why it wasn't on the radio, but it is what it is. Back then, the radio was different. They were doing a lot of, not popish, but it was just a different time period. So you really want to dig into the true albums to get the true music. And dude, we're sitting on a gold mine right here with 8-Ball and MJG and Bun B on one track, dude. That's just a beautiful thing. So that is my late ass album review of Trap Music by T.I. in 2003. Again, fantastic album. You have the monster hits of 24, Rubber Band Man, Let's Get Away, Be Easy was a single. But you have a hidden jewel right here in Bezel, Jerry, that I think a lot of people don't know about, or they definitely forgot about. And whenever you get a chance, go back and listen to 24, Chopped and Screwed, especially if Michael Watts did it. It's on one of those, maybe before the Kappa albums back in the day. Maybe a Final Chapter, a mixtape album. But the way he brings it back, or maybe it was an OG Ron CD. I can't even, I can think on this for days, but the way that he brings that first verse back, man, and he slowed down that beat, it's a beautiful thing. Gosh, it's a beautiful thing. Again, this is Cool Tony D's late ass album review of T.I.'s Trap Music.
Sweet. Well, I appreciate hearing what you enjoyed about Trap Music with T.I. Now, I think we talked about trap music, the genre, before on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Was there something with the release of this album that sort of kicked that name off? Obviously, trap music was, before he even used it for the album title, it was a thing. But I didn't know if T.I. was sort of instrumental in that way with this particular album as far as the genre of trap music.
Back then, whenever he referred to music as trap music, it was mainly referred to as drug music, because he really talked about drugs and drug influences, the dope house, and music that would be just heavy hitters, was heavy on the bass. Now, trap music is its own sound, like just the way the drum patterns are. It wasn't about the drum patterns back then. It was really more about just the bass and you talking about certain drum game. That's really what it was. That's what trap music originally was, in my opinion. And that's really just basing it off of a young T.I. back in the day in 2001 on the I'm Serious album, because he mentions trap music a lot then, and then according to this album as well. But yeah, now trap music is its own genre for real, for real. It wasn't just a drug heavy bass. Yeah, it was a different meaning back then, for sure.
Very cool, very cool. Tony, thank you so much for giving us this look down memory lane in this, and celebrating the 20 years of this particular album, Trap Music by T.I. And it was again, at the time, T.I.P. or just T.I.
He always went by T.I.P. in the streets, but he had to go by T.I. with his music label, because the label he was with already had Q-Tip on the label. And he respected Q-Tip so much. He said, I'll go by T.I. And That's how he came to T.I. But they call him Tip, and he refers to himself as Tip, even in his songs.
Cool. Well, when people are looking for what you are listening to, and even what sports you're watching and what you're drinking, where can they find you on social?
Yeah. So I am at CoolTonyD. That's K-O-O-T-O-N-Y-D on Instagram. And is it called X now, or is it still called Twitter? Hell, I don't know. I'm on Threads too.
We don't know. We really don't know. The X. I mean, it feels like it's going to be a Pornhub anytime soon, but whatever.
Oh, shit, it already is. I'm on Spotify and SoundCloud at Cool Tony D as well. Check out my playlist. They will not disappoint you. I really, really love all the platforms I'm on, including taking the pictures of beers and stuff, but I love my music playlist. But Jerry, where can they find you at, my man, and follow you?
So I'm on ntxbeer.net, and so that's where a lot of the articles and the show notes for Modern Brews and Beats podcast live. You can also find me on Threads, Instagram, Twitter, or X, Facebook, as ntx underscore beer. So I'll be there, those particular channels, and definitely get at us on the Instagram Modern Brews and Beats channels. That's Modern Brews and Beats, all one word, all one phrase, on Instagram. And also it's going to be M Brews Beats on Twitter, or X, whichever one you feel is comfortable. So again, thank you for listening to episode 176 of Modern Brews and Beats. Like we say every week, enjoy your favorite beats and enjoy your favorite brews, but please do not drive drunk. Please call a cab, Lyft, Uber, or a friend, or be a friend if someone needs to get home safe. Thank you for listening to Modern Brews and Beats.
Cheers. Mm-hmm.